Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right.
Yeah.
So, we've got a lot of wrestling to talk about. But I suppose we should mention up front that this is the first time we're recording since a new Star Wars movie has come out.
Yes.
And has been in front of our eyeballs.
So, if the reason that you're listening to us, to this podcast is you're wondering what our reaction is going to be to that, just wait for
Stay
all the
tuned.
Wait for all the wrestling stuff to finish.
And it's a wrestling podcast, sirs and madams. But it's also very early, but it's like so we won't delve too much into it. But there'll be a little bit of Star Wars later.
I'd say screw it. Let's dive all the way.
There'll be a little bit of Star Wars later on.
Let's dive all the way on that. But anyway, let's go. Let's talk about wrestling. Was there anything from this past week that you wanted to bring up?
I think the most important thing, obviously, is New Day. This week belongs to New Day.
Right.
And
I really liked that Raw main event.
Yeah.
Like, after the match was whatever, but the match itself was really, like, one of the best Raw matches that they've put on this year.
I liked both of them. Like, obviously, the main event was the one to remember and go home with.
Yeah.
But I think I'm really impressed with. I have to compare it to the whole Nikki Bella thing, just because that's the last, like, we're breaking an all-time record here.
Sure.
And obviously, this is a bigger record. This is a bigger deal. This is something that's held for 20 some years versus for 5, 6, however long
something like that
the Diva thing was happening. But however long it is, it should be a big deal when somebody is about to break an all-time record.
Absolutely.
And in both cases, I think they appropriately hyped it up, but there was so much backing it up with the New Day. And I think they did a really good job with this, like, it's getting close. We're here. They've got one more title defense, and then they've got it.
Yeah.
Oh, they've got one more title defense, and then they've got it. And it was. I think from the top of the show, when New Day came out to say this is what's going to happen tonight, and it was a fairly standard New Day promo.
Sure.
They hit a lot of their New Day highlights.
Mm-hmm.
We are getting close to the end of the time where that New Day, good old classics are going to start being like, all right.
Yeah.
But because of the day that it was, and because New Day is who they are, it felt very earned.
Sure.
That this episode of Raw belongs to New Day. It is a celebration of what this tag team has achieved, especially looking over the history of what the New Day was.
Yeah.
So it was really nice to see them get two, you know, fairly spectacular matches on one night, and just to be kind of like, you know, a thank you / celebration / reward for this tag team for accomplishing what they've accomplished.
And specifically, like, that second match, especially towards the end of it, felt like an Xavier Woods showcase.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was all these things where it's like, yeah, I wonder if they're ever going to let him, like, kind of cut loose in the ring, you know, because up until then, he hadn't really, you know, gone to what we thought was probably his fullest potential. And, you know, because the majority of the time we get matches with Kofi and Big E.
Yeah, that's
so, but this was like, it felt like the first time they're like, all right, Xavier Woods can kind of show off exactly what all he's capable of. And I think he knocked it out of the park. The only thing that he might have been bested by was that one moment in the first match when Cesaro just went insane.
Yeah.
It was just taking out everybody. That was one of the better sequences I've seen in a while.
I think,
mostly because it's Cesaro. Mm-hmm.
I think with The Shield, they've done a very good job of, since The Shield broke up, there wasn't a left-behind member of The Shield. Yeah. I'm also here, member of The Shield. And it's at various times been all three of them, where it's like, oh, Dean Ambrose is the one that is getting lost in the shuffle. or Roman is the one getting lost in the shuffle.
When was Roman ever lost in the shuffle?
Well, Roman was the one that was like, we will boo him back into the shuffle.
Fair enough.
But there have been times where, like, each one of them has been struggling to become a single star.
Right, because every single one of them, there was at least one bump where, like, I wish they were doing more, especially with Dean Ambrose. We were wishing they would do more than Seth. Well, Seth was mostly because of the injury.
It was.
And then Roman, yeah, he just struggled on a whole different level.
Mm-hmm. And Roman has struggled and is still struggling with an entirely different thing than the other two.
Yeah.
But I that being said, I still want good things for him. Based on his time in the Shield, I can see, like, there is ways to properly utilize what this guy can bring to a match and can bring to the ring and the company.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at it overall for the past couple of years, like, okay, you should be able to mine 3 top-tier single stars out of this.
Yeah.
And this Monday night was an example of, like, when New Day is done, you should have 3 top-tier single stars.
Yeah.
And it's always kind of been like, I hope Xavier was the one that was like, Xavier's going to get lost in the shuffle.
Right.
You're going to have 2 guys, and Xavier's going to be
the one guy that they're not exactly sure what they want to do with. Yeah.
And he's going to, because he's a great mouthpiece, but he can go in the ring, and you're like, oh, he's going to get stuck in this weird halfway middle position.
Yeah.
Where they're going to be like, oh, we got to get Xavier to manage somebody.
Right.
And then, like, one writer's going to be like, what if he wrestled?
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, but manager. And like, all right. Because manager that can take a bump is an attractive thing.
Sure. Absolutely.
So this is kind of a reminder, is like, there's no reason not to have 3 solid single stars coming out of this.
Yeah. And that's why it felt that much better that Xavier Woods was allowed to, you know, do what he did in the main event. So I feel better about that, because I had those same concerns, because we know eventually that day is going to come.
Yeah.
And I had always worried that, you know, Kofi probably would more than likely fall back into the position he was before New Day.
Mm-hmm.
Big E would probably get at least one main event push.
Yeah.
And then Xavier Woods was, you know, just kind of a big question mark, just because, you know, he doesn't fit necessarily any sort of mold that is really all that desirable by Vince, you know?
Well, and he also, as much as he's like the third one / the mouthpiece, he gets in-ring moments to shine just enough that it's like, okay, so they're aware. They're not forgetting.
Right, yeah.
Like, every time I feel like I want to interject and be like, don't forget this.
Yeah, that's what, like, you know, during this entire run, any time that they had Xavier in the match, it made me kind of worry. It's like, okay, this is how they're going to lose, probably, and this is how they're going to break up, because they're going to blame Xavier or whatever, and then just go from there. But, you know, clearly that hasn't happened, so, yeah.
So, going forward from this, how much longer do you think New Day has the titles?
Surely not for much longer, I don't think.
I mean, they've hit the point.
Yeah.
And it doesn't,
I mean, I would like it to be a big, I don't know, like, part of me thinks it would be at a, like, a big event or whatever, or part of me would be, part of me thinks it would be at a smaller pay-per-view that, you know, they use that to kind of get a big shocking moment from, so people will go back. People who missed it will go back on the network and watch it or whatever.
I feel like at this point they've broken this record. They're not getting anything from extending this number other than making it harder for the next tag team to eventually break this record.
Yeah.
So long term for the company, that's, you know, that's not great. Let's go ahead and get these off of these guys. I feel like it's not going to be a joyous occasion when they lose it.
And it needs to be a heel team.
I think it does need to happen a smaller thing, because this, like, happening at Rumble or, like, waiting even till WrestleMania, where you're like, oh, yay, you're not happy about that.
I have it, like, okay, and part of me is not so much as a prediction as how I would do it, I would have them lose to Revival.
Yeah.
Because they're a heel team that don't necessarily need the heat, because they're we've seen that they're pretty good at generating heat on their own.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, that would be a great way to bring them in.
Yeah.
And I feel like if
Would you have it, like, almost from a debut kind of thing?
Part of me would like to see that. But at the same time, I don't like, you know, just a team just walking in the door and getting a championship opportunity. You
right.
know? I would like to kind of see them fight other teams for a number one contendership.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking it happens at whatever the Raw pay-per-view is before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Then WrestleMania, you've got a hotter angle going in where it's New Day trying to take back their championships from this team that just took it from them.
Okay.
That's how I would do it. I would prefer it be Revival. If not Revival, then Gallows and Anderson.
So
Gallows and Anderson are really like the only full-on solid top heel tag team.
I feel like Gallows and Anderson are getting close to the point where like they need this.
Yeah.
And I hate that because they should be.
Because I mean, I feel like they're as soon as they drop any sort of the comedy routine,
mm-hmm.
I feel like they're hitting their stride.
Yeah,
you know?
These guys should be viewed as a legitimate threat to mm-hmm. the title holders at any point, whoever the title holders
and
are.
And, of course, I'm doing the whole, like, you know, Halloween match. Just let's all forget about that.
Yes.
That never happened.
So I feel like, yeah, these guys need the title, need to be legitimized and not... Because they feel lost in the shuffle,
mm-hmm.
which is bad... When you're talking about the current tag division on
right.
Raw,
right.
there's no shuffle to get lost in.
Right.
And they still feel lost in the shuffle.
Yeah. Because when you think about it, both Raw and SmackDown tag team division seems kind of thin.
Yeah.
SmackDown specifically, but yeah.
Well, and so I feel like they need it. And I feel like, honestly, Sheamus and Cesaro is a team that's, good or bad, is doing interesting stuff.
Sure. But I wouldn't necessarily... Because Sheamus is starting to get kind of a face reaction, too.
Yeah.
For a lot of the stuff he's doing in the ring.
Well, they're still...
Now. Mostly, you know, again, because of his association with Cesaro. I actually kind of like the barroom brawl thing that they did a couple weeks ago. It was cheesy, but, you know, I didn't think it was too much or...
Adding championship titles into that formula is a way to keep it fresh and do something new for a while and it's like team friendship where like
yeah.
you know at some point you throw the titles in there and it adds antics.
Sure.
So that's something that they should have.
But I would rather them. I would rather New Day lose to a team that's been together for a while.
And I understand that. I feel like New Day probably needs to lose and get it at least one more time.
Sure.
Before New Day's done as a thing.
Yeah. I don't want to see this reign end because of a breakup.
Yeah.
I'd rather them lose it legit and then get it back shortly thereafter. Then you can, you know, that shorter championship run can be ended by...
I feel like
some breakup
Big E thing. Saying clap for your world famous 3-time champ and feel the power is going to feel weird.
Yeah, it's considering like, he went an entire year and a half.
Yeah, 2-time champ is the... It's like Booker T's 5-time. Like,
yeah.
He eventually won a 6th time.
But it doesn't.
It was so far like away from the other 5, and it feels weird. And so it's still the 5-time
yeah.
thing. So New Day's going to be the 2-time world champs forever, even though I feel like they will get it a 3rd time.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, it was nice to see this recognition. These guys have basically been the essence of the concept of tag team on Raw
yeah.
for well over a year now. And so it was a nice tip of the hat acknowledgement to these guys being a genuine tag team, not being two guys throw together, or three guys thrown together to be a team.
Yeah.
That they have built a team. They have a personality. They have individual personalities that meld together to form a team with a personality, mm-hmm. which is something that tag teams of the tag team golden age had that they've not had.
Right.
Like that has been the struggle and the flaw in the tag team for years, is that the team did not have a personality.
Right.
Like they had guys with individual personalities that worked together well or didn't.
Yeah.
Or they had personalities that were so bland that while the team was like, oh, that's the, you know, Illuminati team, then it's like, which one is which? You're like, I don't know.
Fair
There's
enough,
no yeah. individual personality.
Kind of like how the Spirit Squad was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, there's no individual personality of the team members, and New Day had both.
Yeah.
Has both. Still is a thing. Has both.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I'm glad. And that's one of the really interesting things is this was also a go-home show for Raw.
Yeah.
Which usually suck. Go-home shows are the worst shows of the month.
But this month, it felt like they finally remembered how to do that.
Well, and I think it was because the bulk of the show was centered around something that wasn't the main event, the main storyline of upcoming Roadblock. They still touched on all that thing. They touched on Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns.
They ended with it too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the through line, the thread of the episode of Raw was about New Day and the New Day celebration.
Yeah.
And it's like New Day will be on Roadblock too as well, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But now was their moment in the spotlight, and they will be somewhere in the mid card come Sunday.
Yeah.
It was a nice balance. It made this Raw feel really good, and it still was able to highlight why you should tune in Sunday.
Sure.
So just really impressive.
Yeah. So I guess with that, should we go ahead and just jump into Roadblock, I'm guessing?
Yep, that sounds good. Let's go for that.
Okay. All right. First of all, we got the kickoff match, which is Big Cass versus Rusev. I'm guessing because they're saying Enzo is injured, or he's in an injury angle or something. Because of the hotel situation?
I feel like if you told me a month ago, 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. hey, we're going to do a Big Cass versus Rusev angle. Solid, interesting setup. I like those two guys. I think they could do some interesting stuff together. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see it. And it's like, what if we killed all your enthusiasm for that concept?
Yeah, because, again, like it feels like the real rivalry is Enzo and Rusev. Cass is just there because he's friends with Enzo.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like this was like, if this was where they were wanting to go this entire time for an Enzo and Big Cass feud, they went a real roundabout way to do it.
Yeah.
Because really it just feels like Cass is cleaning up Enzo's mess.
Yeah. So I don't know. And basing the whole thing around like the incident behind closed doors in the hotel room feels,
I don't know, like I kind of liked it though.
Really?
I mean, I'm not saying it was,
all right, defend yourself.
I mean, it's different enough from the usual, you know what I mean? Like that's honestly probably the only real defense I've got of it. It's like for the people who are infatuated with the Attitude Era and want Raw to go back to that, this is about as close as they're going to get these days, you know?
All right. Fair enough.
And it's like, it's I think it's just enough of a, like,
to use your words, fair enough.
It's just enough of them, like, dipping their toe in that water to kind of, like, you know, get the fans, or the fans that are clamoring for that, interested. But it's not, like, full-on Attitude Era, because then we would probably definitely have some dilemmas about watching that stuff every week.
See, I will concede, like, yeah, if this is, you know, tickling your Attitude Era Fancy, then all right. I can't argue with that.
Tickling Your Attitude Era Fancy. I believe AJ Styles calls that the Jesus number. That joke's never not going to be funny.
Yeah. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
This is not the part of the Attitude Era that I am nostalgically wistful for.
Sure. No, and I agree. But at the same time, you know, they're trying to captivate that audience.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like this is another chapter in the when we at some point are like, give me a through line of Lana's character.
Yeah.
And how, and you're like, I don't know. Like,
she's just Russian most of the time, except for brief moments when she forgets her accent. There was a thing with Ziggler.
And like,
she likes to entrap males into thinking that they have a chance with her, and then Rusev comes in. She likes to ruin her own angles by getting engaged with Rusev. But really, she was the good guy and all that, because that storyline was awful. We were all looking for an exit ramp, and she just finally said screw it and provided one of her own.
I don't know. I like Rusev a lot. I feel like there's a lot of potential for Rusev that all gets set aside because Lana's pretty.
Yeah. And, like, side note, like, Lana's actually been wrestling NXT shows or house shows lately. So maybe she'll actually get in the ring. That could, you know, open up some interesting options.
That could be interesting.
Yeah.
Because,
I mean, she's had one match on the main roster at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was brief, but she didn't look bad.
No.
So,
I mean, the review of Lana's performance is didn't embarrass herself, but at the same time, she was not given a chance to get any other review than didn't embarrass herself.
No. So like, the review was brief, didn't embarrass herself.
Yeah. So like, although that sounds insulty, it ends up not being meant as an insult.
Compared to Eva Marie when she first started?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's I would take that as a compliment. Although I would like to point out that how funny it was that Sami Zayn almost got traded to SmackDown for Eva Marie. And I love the excitement and almost immediate disappointment by Corey Graves.
Yeah.
That, I was like, wow, that's some continuity right there.
Corey Graves is working for me on commentary.
He is for me as well.
And he's like, and he's doing it by himself because...
Oh, sure.
There is not a commentary team that is gelling well right now, but like...
No, yeah.
Because I was watching...
Even NXT got ruined because they brought in Percy Watson.
God, he is not working for me.
I know. Like, but again, you got to remember developmental.
Developmental, but it's like, is he going to...
But
is,
him...
Is that his new thing now? Is that his career trajectory?
Yeah.
Because I'm...
As like, far as I know, yeah.
I'm almost hoping for like a CM Punk thing like... He's healing, and so...
And that's what I'm thinking we're getting with Austin Aries at 205 Live.
Right.
Because he even says, like, I'm here for now, but you watch, I will get in that ring. Although, Austin Aries started a little bit gel with me, a little bit better on commentary this week. The circus reference was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
That he made on that.
Okay.
He's starting to grow on me a little bit. I feel like that's probably the commentary team that's... probably towards the top of my
I think it was
right
specifically
now.
Because I don't, for some reason, I really paid attention to commentary at NXT this mm-hmm. week, and I was like, oh no,
yeah,
oh he is
but you notice how much better the commentary team was at the first match, because that was just Byron and Corey doing the Nakamura Joe match,
right?
You know, but when they went back to the Full Sail arena, you know, that's when, you know, Percy was there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it took a big nosedive. I don't know what it is with, I don't know. The 4-man team on SmackDown is too
much. It's too big. It's too much.
They need to get rid of Otunga.
We don't have 2-man teams anymore.
No.
Like, and I think that should be explored.
Yeah.
Because
it worked on NXT.
Well, the, you know, your golden team of the past 30, 40 years is JR and Jerry Lawler.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one everybody's going to point to and be like, the good old days of announcing.
Yeah.
If you were to
and
ask...
Even Taz and Michael Cole was good on SmackDown.
If you were to ask, what are the... Give a top 10 list of matches based on how good the commentary was.
The majority of it's going to be JR and King.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. If it isn't, I think it's still going to be something commentated by a two-man commentary team.
Yeah.
So
the height of Michael Cole's commentating career, what I felt like was the main event of WrestleMania 30.
Yeah.
That was like the highlight for him.
Okay.
That and I like the call whenever Shane fell off or jumped off the Hell in a Cell.
Yeah. But see, I think.
But other than that, I don't have anything specific to point to with, you know, the Michael Cole era. You know what I mean?
No. I liked some of his, like, before it went overboard, his pro-Miz, anti-Daniel Bryan stuff
yeah.
was just enough. That was Michael Cole helping to build character through his commentary work.
Sure.
And it became a crutch. Issues down the line.
Right.
But at the beginning, I think it was very well utilized use of his commentary.
I do think it's good that they separated Michael Cole and JBL.
Yeah,
they're getting a little bit too chummy.
I think so.
They were just really. It felt like those times where they were just trying to pop each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that doesn't necessarily make for good commentary.
Well, and while I like the reward of like, oh, I paid attention to your dumb web show, and now I got the inside joke you're talking about.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. Like reward as a loyal viewer.
Yeah.
Once
like,
that
why,
became
like why JBL is so in favor of. Heath Slater succeeding.
Yeah.
It's because it's his nephew in kayfabe or weird internet kayfabe.
this extra
layer
kayfabe. 12th wall breaking kayfabe.
Are we still on kayfabe 2.0? I feel like we stopped talking about that.
But at the same time, when that starts to dominate your commentary, I realize why. You know, all right, I get why we need to pump the brakes and readjust.
Yeah.
But all that to say is like to me. Three-man teams already feel a little top-heavy, so this four-man SmackDown team just feels like a cartoon clown car of commentary right now.
Yeah.
Especially because sometimes they'll have four guys on there and a special guest commentator of somebody who, like, you know, when they have a wrestler come down, and I'm like, what is this
right.
panel of judges?
SmackDown is going to feel ridiculous. Would that be like five people, unless it's The Miz who's got Maurice, and then it's six people, or if it's a tag team or whatever, or if the Wyatts for some reason is on a commentary, that's seven people.
Like, you're just waiting for it to happen.
Yeah, like, for a while, like, wait, is that a lumberjack match? No, that's just the commentary team, you know? But you're right. I do think Big Cass is going to win.
I also think Big Cass is going to win. I forgot we were on the card.
Yeah, we were.
All right, next match.
To be fair, I just now remembered that. I was like, I need to bring it back somehow. And I did it in the smoothest transition imaginable. Hard cut. Sometimes a hard cut is the way to go.
It's like, there's some comedian who's like, so I know we're supposed to do transitional stuff, but I've talked myself into a corner. So airplanes, you guys.
Yeah, I know. I heard that before. I don't know who it is, though. But we got the tag team championship match, New Day versus Cesaro and Sheamus.
I will continue to pick New Day.
Yeah, until they prove me wrong.
Yeah, it's just like.
Even if they still have the championships and the revival like goes to Raw and they're fighting each other. I'm still going to pick New Day just because of the law of averages.
Yeah, law of averages. House always wins, you know.
Yeah.
It'll serve me well till it doesn't, and then I'll lose one point.
Yeah. Or multiple because it's for a championship.
Yes, but I will always pick New Day until New Day loses.
This is interesting. And this is starting to become like a hotter angle than you thought it would be. And that's Sami Zayn versus Braun Strowman with a 10-minute time limit.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, that promo on Raw with Sami Zayn and Mick Foley, like, really brought it home. I don't know. Like, I'm really starting to dig this. And it has zero input from Braun Strowman other than the physicality, which is what he's there for. So, you know, again, like, you know, say what you want about his in-ring ability, which, you know, it still seems like it's in its infancy.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows not to do too much. Like, he knows, he does his, like, he does what he's supposed to do. And I know that feels like a really dumb thing to be praising somebody for. But for some reason, like, I don't know, maybe I got used to so many big guys being awful.
Long-time listeners will be aware that I've been somewhat critical of the concept of the monster build in the past. And I don't want this to undermine anything I've ever said, because monster builds are stupid and they're terrible 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But this is how you do a monster build.
Except this isn't 100% because now you're making it 99.1 or whatever.
It is because he's using this monster build to highlight what works about Braun Strowman,
mm-hmm.
what makes him theoretically scary in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done a couple of different power moves.
But then again, without the monster build, do you think Mick Foley would be treating this situation like he is? You know, do you think the seriousness of the situation would come across as well if we didn't get all of these monster build matches beforehand? And even, you know, and a lot of it sprung from the initial match between he and Sami Zayn, where Mick Foley had that, like, really somber, like, you know, just stop the match, you know?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I'm going to use the Ryback monster build as an example,
right?
Just because it's the one that's freshest in my mind, as this took way too long.
Yeah.
And sucked for way too long.
Yeah.
And part of the issue there was Ryback came out and did the same 3 to 4 power moves in every match, mm-hmm. finished it the same way.
Yeah. Brodus Clay as well.
And Braun Strowman has finished it in different ways.
Yeah, like, I can't remember a time where he's used the same finisher.
And so,
more than that, like, maybe 2 times. There was, like, the reverse choke slam.
Mm-hmm.
And then he used a different move this week.
And I don't know if that, like, behind the scenes, if that's, let's try some things out and decide on if whatever finisher gets the most reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Or if there's another plan behind this. But it's starting to look like every move this guy does counts as a finisher.
Yeah. He, honestly, from a physical standpoint, he's legit impressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I do kind of hope for the day where he's allowed to show a little bit more personality. I mean, for right now, it works fine because that fits what his character is. But listening to him on podcasts, I want to see him, you know, show some personality eventually. Not now, because it doesn't necessarily fit.
Right.
But there's a story, like, he was on the Jericho's podcast with the Talking Shop guys, Gallows and Anderson. And he's just talking about how, like, at a house show, they all, like, everyone in the locker room, like, was putting down money saying that he couldn't do a kip up mm-hmm. during this match. And, like, his, you know, his ring music hit, everyone in the back popped and came to the curtain, and he almost nailed that kip up.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things where it's like, this guy's got a ton of personality
mm-hmm.
if they ever get to a point where he can show it. So I feel like there's a lot of potential with him, you know, because he's got this, he really does have this freakish physical ability.
Yeah.
Well,
and I don't know, a couple of things. The Wyatt look.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's naturally how he wants his physical appearance to be.
Yeah.
Or if they were like, we need a big scary Wyatt guy. Mm-hmm. If you grow a beard, you get to be on TV.
Sure. And I feel like, you know, they changed up his hair after the...
They did.
The draft, so there's that. But at the same time, like, yeah, you can shave the beard if you want. You know, whatever.
Right.
But at the same time, it kind of fits with this, you know, crazed giant
scary man coming out from the woods to kill everything. And I don't know, like, if his natural personality fits his in-ring character.
Not quite.
And that's the thing. It's like, and that can obviously...
But he's portraying it well.
Evolve.
Yeah.
Right now, he serves best as the scary wall for Sami Zayn to bounce off of.
Yeah.
Like
I'm saying, like, he is doing what Roman Reigns should have done a couple years ago.
Yeah.
You know? And you have to commend both he and WWE from not trying too much with him too soon.
Yeah.
You know? Right now, like, again, the silent badass character is working for him, in my eyes, for the time being. Now, you know, down the road, you're going to need to change some things up.
Well,
add some personality here and there, whatever.
Right now, the Braun Strowman segment doesn't feel like an obligatory checking the box the way Brodus Clay and Ryback did. Yeah. Like, Ryback and is like the momentum ground to a halt because I needed to see Ryback do the same four moves, but this time with two guys instead of one.
Right.
So watching Braun Strowman come out, there's a little bit like, oh, what's he going to do this time?
Yeah, like what sort of torturous move is he going to do to these poor souls now?
And I don't know. It's working. This is... And I reserve the right to turn on this on a dime and be like, nope, all monster builds suck.
Absolutely, because these are the type of things where just the slightest breeze and the whole thing goes sour, you know?
But it also helps that while he is physically in a monster build run in the ring, storyline-wise, he is involved with a actual, you know, rostered guy with Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
So the storyline involved around him is something that's happening backstage with another wrestler, even though he's just crushing people in the ring right now.
Like, as far as from the actual story development, he has very little to do with it, and that's pretty much only on the shoulders of Mick Foley and Sami Zayn, mostly Sami Zayn. You know, because I feel like Sami Zayn's been crushing it promo-wise.
Yeah, which works for me right now. And the I will fight him because no one else will, just like,
right. And that's where it was at the beginning. And so it's like,
that
really
reeks of like.
But adding in the whole like Mick Foley kind of like, you know, putting a governor on him and like, no, you can't really, no, you can't go that far. You can't have a match with him or anything like that. It's added a different element to this, the storyline. But if it was just like, I'm fighting him because no one else will thing, this thing would have been dead in the water if they just stuck with that.
Yeah.
So with that being said, how do you think this match is going to go?
I don't know.
I feel like Sami Zayn is going to catch him by surprise.
Yeah.
Maybe like a roll-up pin or something.
Okay.
Or a submission move or something that he just can't quite get out of. And so I think, because I don't think it ends at Roadblock.
I don't think it ends at Roadblock. And the 10-minute time limit
is interesting.
Yeah. Because there is a lot they can do with that.
Yeah.
I
also see it as maybe ending in a draw.
Yeah.
You know, and because I see the ending possibly being Sami Zayn's got a really good submission hold on him and won't let go, and he won't submit because, you know, he's the big tough guy. So and he does that like right at like maybe like the 9:45
something
mark, and they just hold it until the match ends and it's a draw. You know, I like, can see that happen.
I will predict a Sami Zayn victory because I don't know the rules about predicting a draw.
Sure.
We've not had to discuss that.
Right, sure. And I feel like that would be a good way to continue the storyline, because then it becomes like everyone's talking about how Sami Zayn could possibly beat him, and that's enough to anger Braun Strowman into continuing this feud.
So, but the like, oh, he lasted these 10 minutes.
And again, I'm interested to seeing what a longer Braun Strowman match would look like.
Yeah.
You know, because we haven't seen that ever.
And I mean, the other thing, you know, the other side of the coin is a Braun Strowman crushes Sami Zayn match.
Right.
And then the whole thing is like, he was supposed to last 10 minutes. He didn't last one, you know?
That feels eerily similar to CM Punk's UFC debut.
Oh, yeah.
But no, I'm going to say in an attempt to make this feud have legs, I'm going to say Sami Zayn picks up a win.
Yeah. Okay.
Here.
That's kind of where I'm going, is like, that seems like the natural next step.
Yeah. This is another one I'm not sure about as far as picking. Triple threat for the Cruiserweight Championship, Rich Swann, TJ Perkins, and Brian Kendrick. I'm leaning more towards Rich Swann retaining.
I was going to go with retaining. Just because now that they have 205 Live, TJ Perkins and Brian Kendrick seems like a feud that can last all on its own. Mm-hmm. And that belt can be used to start another feud. Elevate.
Because Rich Swann is already getting a pretty good reaction.
I think so.
Yeah. Him and Jack Gallagher.
Yeah. And I think that show is going to need more than one story feud to be able to sustain itself as a show.
Yeah.
And so you got these two guys who now have this we hate each other rivalry going. So you can have that on the show separate from the belt. This gets them their rematch attempts out of the way. They can fight each other now for a few months while the belt is used to bring another guy up.
Yeah.
And then, so I'm going with a retain on this one.
30-minute. All right, so we're both seeing retaining?
Yeah, retaining.
All right, so we got the 30-minute Iron Man match for the Women's Championship, Sasha Banks versus Charlotte. I'm saying, surely this has to be the end of their feud, at least for now.
Yeah,
and again,
maybe.
And again, I don't know. This is another feud where they're talking more about the historical aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're hitting all these historical things in the same feud. Like, space it out. Like, I know we've talked about this.
We've talked about this.
And it's still infuriating because I'm like, these two are so talented in and out of the ring. Why isn't this feud more of a hotter feud than more hot than it what it is?
Because
of the rivalry and not because of the historics.
I mean, WWE is their own worst enemy on this.
Yeah.
Is that they have taken what naturally builds itself to a fantastic feud. It's like, how do we just kick
how
the legs out from
it
under
up
this?
To make people care a little bit less about this.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you now, this isn't going to be nearly as good as Sasha versus Bayley 30-minute match.
Yeah.
It's not going to touch it.
I will go with Sasha Banks.
Yeah, because it needs to end.
Yeah.
It needs to end pretty much now.
But yeah, there's just a year from now, this exact match would have been the highlight of the night for me.
Yeah, and I still think it's going to end the show.
You think it'll end the show?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Do you think it will deserve to end the show, or do you think they'll want to be like, yeah?
I'm sure it's going to be a great match and possibly the best match of the night.
I think so as well.
But I'm not thrilled about the reasoning behind it. You know
it's just it doesn't feel main eventy. It feels check the boxy.
It feels contrived.
Yeah,
yeah.
But because they keep telling us like we haven't done it. Which keeps pushing in your face. We're checking off this box now.
Yeah.
We've checked off Hell in a Cell. We've checked off No DQ. Now we're going to check off Iron Man.
Yeah. Next up, we have Chris Jericho versus Seth in a singles match. I'm saying Jericho.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think they're wanting. I think they want to continue to build up Jericho some more.
All right.
Eventually lead. Honestly, now that I think about it, Jericho might be my pick for Royal Rumble.
Really?
Uh-huh. And then Jericho versus Kevin Owens at WrestleMania for the championship.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Right?
That'd be interesting.
Because, we're at a point now where the WWE Universal Championship doesn't have to end the show.
Yeah.
You could have, presumably what I'm assuming is going to be a match, AJ Styles versus Undertaker. You can have that main event.
If that happens, that's the main event.
Yeah.
I don't see a way around that being.
Right. So.
I think a Goldberg-Brock rematch would go on before AJ, before Undertaker going for the title.
Yeah.
Undertaker for the title has to end a WrestleMania if it's happening.
Yeah. So I feel like it's not that far-fetched of the Universal Championship being defended, not in the main event, and not have to be on, quote-unquote, a bigger star going into to WrestleMania. Kevin Owens versus Jericho at WrestleMania feels deserving.
Do you keep Seth Rollins away from Triple H all the way till WrestleMania, or do you let that happen at the Royal Rumble? Because he's called him out 2 weeks, 3 weeks now in a row.
I think the way if given because I've called Triple H coming in and ruining things for Seth Rollins like every pay-per-view for like the last 3 months, I feel like the more likely scenario right now is Triple H surprise entrant in Royal Rumble costs the Royal Rumble match, and probably eliminates himself in the process.
Okay, but if Seth comes out every week between now and the end of January and goes, just remember, everybody, I want Triple H, at what point does that get boring?
Very quickly.
Yeah.
But I don't see that stopping WWE, you know?
Well, especially with no Triple H response.
Yeah.
And Triple H has disappeared.
Yeah.
As far as WWE is concerned. I mean, he showed up for that one helping Kevin Owens and showed up one more time just to tell Stephanie that the show was going well.
Yep.
And so when he shows back up, is it like, is it as corporate Triple H getting back in the ring to squash something? Or is it rogue Triple H who's been living in the woods this whole time?
You're going back to your Triple H theory.
Well, no, I yes, but not really. But my I'm going back to, according to Stephanie, she doesn't know why Triple H did what he did.
Right. At least that's what we're supposed to.
Yeah.
She wants us to believe.
I will go Seth Rollins on this one.
Okay.
Just because I do like where you're going with Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
Because
the other option would be to have Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens.
Yeah. I think at this point Kevin Owens holds the title till WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I don't see an interesting story building, and it's possible, but traditionally the Royal Rumble is just for, you know, highlighting the titles.
Either way, I would like
to
see Kevin Owens hold the championship until WrestleMania.
Yeah. So, but I'll go Seth Rollins on this one.
Okay, so you're saying Rollins, I'm saying Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing my prediction for the previous one kind of shows my hand for the championship match with Owens and Roman Reigns.
Oh, yeah, I think
Owens finds some way to win.
I think it's...
Maybe Jericho, like finally comes out to help Owens, you know, and kind of like, you know, we got you again kind of thing.
Well, if...
You thought we were breaking up, but...
If you're having the Iron Man match main event, then you can have the title match go on before... It can be the co-main event with the Rollins-Jericho match as the cool-down match.
Sure.
So then Jericho can come out and help Kevin Owens win... But then Kevin Owens doesn't come out and help Jericho win.
Yeah.
And it's like, I had your back, didn't have mine. Feud time.
Sure.
I
feel like the feud ignites the day after Royal Rumble.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
If my theory is to believe.
Yeah, I hope they don't, not ever, but like, don't put your mid-card and top title on the same guy. It's just messy and awkward trying to get them onto different people later.
Yeah.
And, like, it worked out because you had Night of Champions. Like,
that next month. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Night of Champions' crappy gimmick worked in your favor this one time.
Yeah.
Don't let me think it's cool now.
No. And it feels like it's been forever since Roman Reigns put the championship on the line.
It is statistically... been a lot more like, because I know it feels that way.
Yeah.
And somebody, I think on Reddit, somebody like pointed out, all right, he's held it this long and defended it this many times, which is almost exact. Like in the time span that Rusev held it, he only defended it one more time than Roman Reigns has.
But it just, the way it feels, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so.
So, and that was like hearing that, I'm like, okay, like you got the numbers, and I'm not going to check your math, so I believe you.
Yeah.
But it still feels like he hasn't defended it in a long time.
Absolutely. So, is that it as far as wrestling goes? Before we jump completely into Star Wars,
I want to mention one more thing that happened to me today, which was like I was doing
What?
I want to talk about this.
Okay, that was not the noise you made, but okay. All right, fair enough.
So
it still sounded like there was a surprising finger somewhere.
I was not that. I was at this book signing at an elementary school today. Mm-hmm. And the topic of WWE came up. It was brought up by a third grader. And it's like, all right, I can converse with a third grader for a hot second, and I'm going to spit out some names that he knows, because when you're in third grade and it's like, I like WWE, you're like, who's your favorite? Is it Hulk Hogan? My favorite's Hulk Hogan. And third grade's like, you haven't watched WWE in years. Sure, you're a liar. So
you name drop like indie stars, didn't you? You Mark.
I didn't. I said Dean Ambrose.
Okay.
But I was like, I like Dean Ambrose. Who's your favorite wrestler? And his favorite wrestler, third grader, target demographic right here, you know, 8 year old. His favorite wrestlers were Brock Lesnar and Undertaker.
Okay.
Which is like, okay, so what is going on with WWE's marketing that this third grader who theoretically watches every week, his favorites are Brock Lesnar and Undertaker?
I mean, Brock Lesnar I can see kind of because he's just, you know, a guy who comes in and beats everyone except for Survivor Series. and I guess that was Undertaker for a while too. But Undertaker seems like so few and far between his appearances.
Because that's the thing, like, I didn't... It was not a WWE discussion, so I couldn't like really like, all right, kid, let's break down your thought process here.
Let's do some fantasy booking here.
But like, thinking about it, because that really like stuck with me. I was like, this kid didn't say John Cena. This kid didn't say Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
He didn't mention any of these, you know, cast guys. He didn't mention New Day or Enzo Big Cat. Like, you know, the fun ones that are on every week.
The ones that you would expect that kids would just eat up.
Right, right. And I'm like thinking, I was like, this guy has seen Undertaker wrestle. Like, if he's 8 years old, he's probably been watching for 3 years max that he can remember. So he's seen The Undertaker wrestle three times in his life, maybe four or five.
Of course he watched that because that's his two favorite
wrestlers. That's his two favorite wrestlers.
Oh, man.
And so it's like, so what is it? And I think it is the lure and the awe of this undead wizard character so great still to the point that, you know, these kids are like, oh,
I don't know. I feel like that's more of, it might be a little bit more of his parents, probably dad's projection of his personal favorites.
That might be it too.
I feel, you know, and probably has watched, or at least has sat on the couch while dad watches old Russell or Undertaker
and,
matches.
And that's things like, I don't know if this kid has access to the network or anything. Sure.
I feel like he probably has to if his favorites is The Undertaker and he's in eighth grade.
Well, the thing is, like, if he's third grade, eight year old. Well, that thing
numbers
at that age, he's never seen Undertaker on free TV,
right?
Other than to say he was back for good and then disappear again,
right?
That classic move, pulling out of the old Dwayne trick bag.
Oh. Yeah.
What a
rib.
But like, yeah, he has to have seen some sort of pay-per-view to have seen The Undertaker in an actual match.
Yeah.
Same with Brock Lesnar though. Like, he has to, you know, otherwise he's just seen Brock Lesnar hop in the background while Paul Heyman talked.
Sure. Yeah.
But it's really interesting. Like, hey, those are the cool answers.
Right. Yeah.
Those are the, you know, the smart answers right there.
No, I feel like it would have been more of a spark if he was like, no, my favorites are, you know, Okada and,
yeah, like, and, if he was like
Shibata.
If he was like, Young Bucks, man, that's where it's at.
Right, yeah.
Then I would have been like, all right, kid.
My favorite's Michael Elgin.
Somebody told you to say that.
I'm really looking forward to the Wrestle Kingdom 11 card that got announced last week.
But speaking of
the Wrestle Kingdom 11 card, really does look good.
That's what I'm saying.
Hopefully you do actually watch it this year.
You're talking about it as like shaping up nicely. All right.
Okay.
Cool, Jets.
Thank you for like motioning as if you're about to pat my head. Like, okay, buddy. Okay.
No. As I understand where you're coming from.
No, you all don't. Right,
but
you haven't watched it.
That's the last thing I wanted to mention was like just an interesting thing that happened.
All right. So with that being said, if you are in this solely for the wrestling, we will see you next week. if you are at
plug, let's go.
If you are interested in not having Star Wars Rogue One spoiled for you in any way, stop the podcast here, watch the movie, and then come back to us.
I do recommend going to see, like, all right, I recommend going to see it, obviously.
Clearly.
And I recommend going to see it as blank slate as possible.
Yes.
So if you have not seen it, I fully recommend stopping the podcast here.
Yes.
But
by all means, come back to this podcast after the fact.
Yes.
So here's your spoiler warning right here. Spoiler at this point. If you listen beyond this point and you want to complain about us spoiling things, then you are the idiot here and not us. Mm-hmm. All right, now go.
I will still keep it vague.
Well, yeah.
So, very, very vague, very... I feel like if you've seen the movie, you will understand.
Yeah.
There is a point in this movie, the beginning of the third act, basically. Mm-hmm. They drop out of hyperspace over a certain planet. They look down on the planet and are like, all right, that point to the end of the movie, perfect movie.
Really?
Don't change a frame.
Okay.
The end of this movie is perfect, is
okay.
Exactly.
All right.
Like the last third of this movie.
Okay. All right. Because for some reason I thought you were saying the opposite.
No. Okay. No. All right. I was like, this one, it is good but jumbled at the beginning.
Yeah.
I will say
it felt a little sluggish in the first act.
There is a lot for some reason this movie, because it is not one of the episodes, I felt a lot more comfortable nitpicking. I have a million tiny things that like...
Okay.
Okay, so...
First of all, because it's not a spoiler because he's shown up in the trailers. Vader pun was the one thing I was like, that doesn't feel right.
I like that.
You like the pun.
I
didn't think it fits with Vader.
See, Vader is very...
I don't look at Vader and be like, that guy gets sarcasm. Like, no.
He totally does. He 100% does.
Okay.
At the end, he's okay in Return of the Jedi.
I don't see him doing the Schwarzenegger lines.
Literally, in Return of the Jedi,
mm-hmm.
He comes up and he's like, "The Emperor will arrive," and the guy's like, "You know, to check on how the Death Star's doing." And the guy goes, "The Emperor's coming here. We'll double our efforts." And Vader's like, "I hope so for your sake. The Emperor's not as forgiving as I am," which is hilarious because Darth Vader kills people who inconvenience him.
Sure.
Like,
but I don't feel like that's not nearly as on the nose as, you know, don't choke on your own ambitions or whatever.
Like, it's sassy Vader does exist.
Yeah, that's I feel like that's a different realm of sassy.
Here is what bothered me.
Okay.
So, obviously, David Prowse did not play Darth Vader in this movie. The guy who played Darth Vader carried his weight wrong when he walked. The way
he
walked.
Had a little bit of a sachet.
The way he walked was wrong.
But you're like specifically when you first see Vader like walk in the room.
Yeah.
Didn't he have like a little bit of a sachet?
The way Vader walked was wrong. Yeah.
A little bit.
Again,
it's not enough to ruin the movie for me, but still, well, it's just like,
and so like,
but you know, people who've watched these shows,
that is the thing. I've literally seen every frame of footage of Darth Vader.
Right.
200 times. So like, hey, that guy's, his hips are wrong. He's holding his body wrong.
Right.
He's standing wrong. And like,
maybe they should have had Seamus in the suit.
Well, credit where it's due. All the complaints you want to throw at the prequels.
Yeah.
Hayden Christensen was in the suit at the end of Revenge of the Sith. Mm-hmm. And he watched and mimicked how David Prowse carried himself from the movie and did a great job at that.
Side note, have you watched that? I think it was a Netflix special documentary about David Prowse.
I've not watched it yet.
I need to see it.
So it was very interesting. So... The nitpicks that I have are on that level, on Darth Vader carried his weight wrong.
But it's not enough. But stuff like that's not enough to ruin the movie for
No.
You.
Okay.
I personally thought it was one of the more well-rounded Star Wars movies
it is,
they put out.
The best way I can describe it is not a Star Wars movie. It is a movie set in the Star Wars universe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is a Saving Private Ryan in the Star Wars universe.
Yes, it is... Because a lot of the complaints are like, it's not, you know, this isn't a Star Wars movie. To which I say, no, Star Wars is a children's fantasy movie.
Right.
This is a war movie.
In that universe.
Set in that universe.
Yeah. And so it's going to appeal to certain demographics more than the other.
There are a lot of things that I did not like, and I am wrong for not liking.
Mm-hmm.
Things like, because it's not a Star Wars movie... It didn't have an opening crawl.
Right.
It wasn't shot like a Star Wars movie.
No, it was...
The framing of a lot of stuff was different. Mm-hmm. The editing was different. Like, there were no... Those, like, giant, like, wipe.
No, yeah.
All that stuff's gone.
But again, that would have felt off in a war movie.
Yeah. The music was drastically different.
Yes.
It was... Like, traditional Star Wars music was noticeably absent in this movie.
Yeah.
But a lot of that... This is the first... movie in like the Star Wars anthology stuff. And I would like for them, like, if you're going to keep getting, you know, well-known, interesting, experienced directors.
Yeah.
You're
going
to
get...
I would like to see what they can do with this material as a director.
But not it would not necessarily be in the same genre. Like, it'll have to be some sort of sci-fi.
Yeah.
Because it's in space or whatever. But, you know, still have some... I'm assuming the Han Solo movie is going to have more of a comedic element because you got the guys from Lego Movie and 21 Jump Street.
And, like, I don't want these things to break the concept. No. But I am glad... Although I'm emotionally dead as different, and that makes it bad, I can sit here and understand, like, I'm glad they're going ahead and doing this.
Yeah.
Because if they had just, you know...
Because
it makes it that much harder later on to...
Deviate.
Break. Yeah, to deviate.
Because, you know, we're going to get to a point where we're going to have a lot of Star Wars, you know? And we're going to have a lot of Star Wars movies. So it's going to get to the point where, like, yeah, we're... If it was all the same, we're going to get to the point where we're going to get almost sick of it because it's going to feel like the same thing.
Yeah,
you know, so I'm thankful for enough of a deviation that it feels that much different.
There are some things that could have been cut, but everything that could have been cut is from the beginning of the movie.
Yeah,
go to the movie and watch the movie for the last 30 to 45 minutes of it.
Yeah,
because that
it's enough. It's enough for the price of admission.
Oh yeah, if they were like, hey. Actually, if this movie is 45 minutes long, it's the last 45 minutes of this movie, worth the ticket.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I thought the action sequences were amazing. Mm-hmm. The standout to me was that last action sequence with Vader.
Yeah.
Like, that was the most badass I feel like we've ever seen Vader.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of that kind of stuff where, like, we are told that Vader's amazing, but don't get to see a lot. We're told that the Empire... is a force to be reckoned with, but we don't get to see that a lot in the original trilogy.
Right.
But
we see it more with Rogue One, you know, exactly what all these forces are capable of. The Death Star, which almost felt like, you know, just like a, not necessarily a background piece, but it felt like more of a character in Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
And you really start to see exactly how it affected the everyday, you know, member of the galaxy.
There's a character in this movie. If you've seen it, you know exactly the character I'm talking about when I say, I don't see how Rogue One doesn't win the Oscar for visual effects.
Yeah.
That they accomplished this character being on the screen. They accomplished the amount of time this character's on the screen.
The amount of dialogue this character had.
Yes. Yeah. I don't understand how this movie's not going to get... It is a genuine game changer for the future of Hollywood.
Yeah, it is. It is another reason for George Lucas to open up his laptop, look at a picture of Jar Jar, and openly weep. Because he, by comparison, this was just dog poop.
I will also say that...
And like the people complaining, because there are some complaints about that particular character.
They're wrong.
They're wrong. I feel like visual effects, like this is as good as it's going to get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, it looks like a video game or whatever. It's like, yeah, well, it's as close as you're going to get. And honestly, it makes sense than going any other route, I think.
Yeah.
You know, again, not to get too specific, but.
And I think.
When you think of like the timeline and everything, which, you know, if once you watch it, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Once you see the timeline and everything, it makes sense.
It clicks. So, again, the last 30, 45 minutes of this movie clicks so well. Just, like, puzzle pieces falling into place beautifully.
And not in a cheesy way.
No.
You know, not in a full-on, like, hey, we're trying to retcon this whole thing and trying to, like, finagle a way to have this fit into the universe.
No, so smooth.
It fits like a glove into the overall storyline.
Honestly, I think probably around the time the DVD comes out, I will have gotten to see it a couple more times and I can give you a thorough, like, beat by beat, this works, this doesn't analysis of this.
Sure.
The way that we did for Force Awakens.
Sure.
Um, n- p- probably somewhere around April this past year. I remember us like breaking down.
Well, we're gonna be talking a lot about Star Wars because of Celebration.
Yes,
I'm actually going.
But yeah, long story short, I do want to say like, go see it. Yeah. It is a promise of an interesting direction of the future of this franchise.
Right, and again, like when they, because you know, very little was known about this movie for a long time. But when what little we knew was like, hey, it's going to be a darker story. It's going to be a war story within the Star Wars universe, and it, you know, and they delivered on that. Like it's one of those times where it's like I feel like what they were promising actually delivered and delivered well.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I honestly put it, if we have to rank them among all the other Star Wars movies, which you know probably isn't fair because again, like these are anthology movies, so they're not.
Yeah.
Quote-unquote Star Wars movies, I would still rank this pretty high up.
I
would rank it above 7.
I, on principle, refuse to rank it yet.
Sure, yeah.
Because, again, only seen it once.
Sure.
Pure, you know, emotional reactions right now because it just happened.
Are you going to try to see it again soon?
I already have tickets to see it again soon.
Yeah, I might try to see it again Saturday.
Yeah. No, I'm going on this Sunday. I'm going down to the IMAX to
the Raleigh one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think if you can,
I may not go that far. I'm thinking I'll just, you know, just punk out and go to the High Point one.
I will say
inside baseball.
So you guys, there's real IMAX and there's dumb stupid IMAX.
Sure.
If you can see it in real IMAX,
go absolutely.
Half the point of this movie is, hey, the Death Star's real big, you guys.
Yeah.
So go watch it on a real big screen.
Absolutely. There was like a kind of a moment when the Death Star kind of rolls up on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It is, even on like, you know, we were watching it on a regular screen. Even on that regular screen, it felt
big,
astounding.
Yeah,
it felt
well. There's that scene, and it's in the trailer.
Yeah,
where a TIE fighter flies by, you know, full size TIE fighter, and it flies by a Star Destroyer. And oh man, that TIE fighter's tiny compared to look how big that Star Destroyer is.
And then the Star Destroyer
goes by the Death Star.
And
I watched that scene on my phone the first time because it was a trailer. And I was watching it on YouTube, so I watched it on my phone, and I was like, this Death Star feels massive, and I'm looking at it on my phone.
Right.
So
because I don't think they ever did that, like a side by side of like
a
Star Destroyer next to a Death Star in the originals.
No, I mean they did kind of that in Return of the Jedi.
Sure.
But like especially New Hope was like, this thing's really, really big. It's a beach ball. But we just put it far away and like, it's really big, you guys.
Yeah. I feel like that was another point I was going to make. I also wanted to take note. Like, I really like the Star Destroyer sequence.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what I'm talking about, where they just kind of like
yeah.
Change directions and all that stuff. Yeah,
there's a lot of very interesting. There's a lot of very creative things that are done, which is good that I'm getting to see. It's new things, but at the same time, things are like, that's reasonable.
Yeah.
I can see that happening at this point in the movie.
And now that I think about like stuff like when they're on the refinery planet,
mm-hmm.
that felt like it took forever.
Yeah.
That like, I don't know. Like it just felt like that. It's not one single scene, but like that whole time that they're on that planet feels like it takes half the movie, which it probably doesn't, but it just feels that way. So
yeah.
Like I definitely agree with you on the nitpicking stuff, especially on the first 2/3 of the movie. Mm-hmm. But again, like, yeah, the last 45 minutes is enough to almost make you overlook all the other flaws.
Oh, yeah. No, and that's what you leave the movie on, is that high of, like, this past 45 minutes. I've been watching a pretty perfect movie.
Yeah.
Overall,
I felt like this is probably one of the more well-rounded Star Wars movies. Because you had the seriousness, but you always has some really good lines from K2, the robot there. K2 was an MVP in this.
He was. Yeah. They're gonna need a
K2 like side story.
They're gonna need to really quickly make a memorable character that's not an adorable sidekick robot.
Yeah.
Because we're getting, I mean, we're two movies into the Disney era of Star Wars, already it's like, all right, who's the adorable robot for this movie?
And the robot wasn't adorable. It just had really good lines.
It was the awesome character, though.
Yeah.
He's going to be the most popular character out of this. I don't think there's a question on that.
No, I wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't put money on that at all. Or anyone else, I would say.
Yeah. Anything else?
I feel like that is it.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet when it is appropriate to live tweet for wrestling these days.
And if you have any questions, comments, your own thoughts about Rogue One, send that over to our email. That's classroomringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. You can subscribe and get a new episode every single week. If you want to, maybe write a review or give us a rating of
5 spoilers.
That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast as far as iTunes metrics interactioning goes.
Yep. And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Also on Facebook, easy way to follow Chris, easy way to follow myself, see what other kind of things we're working on. We got a couple of things starting to shape up for the new year.
Yep.
That we're looking forward to, and that will get revealed on Facebook as well as on the podcast, but also on Facebook. So follow us there.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.